Well, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of WTF Walk the Floors. I'm Stephanie Ledger with First Rate Hospitality, and I'm joined with my co-host, Michelle Klein of Klein Hospitality. How are you today, Michelle, and what do we have going on?
This is part two, Stephanie. We have a room once again filled with outstanding hoteliers. I'm so excited. Jason from GOR Hospitality Solutions. We have George from ComOps. We have Erica from Erica Lozano, Luxury Hospitality. This is part two of Everything Luxury Service. So last time we met, we talked about the trends that we want to see go in 2023, and then what do we want to see happen in 24, or what are we seeing or anticipating? Today, we're going to talk about everything that has to do with a personalized guest experience. So I want to kick off with Erica, start the discussion on personalization. How are you seeing luxury hospitality services customizing experiences for individual guests, Erica?
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you once again, Stephanie and Michelle, for having us back. It's great to be back. And I think that to answer your question, like how do we see the luxury hospitality services customizing the experiences? I think that we have to think, how do we go beyond the history data and the advanced guest preferences platforms that are out there, right? And I think I know that we briefly mentioned them on the previous episode of having this technology available. But let's just remember that when it comes to personalization, the experience needs to create a sentiment. So something that the guest says they know me so well, and this action that they did for me makes me feel unique or makes me feel valued or happy. So I know we also mentioned the human touch on the last episode and how important that continues to be in the hospitality industry. And in order for the properties to provide a truly personalized experience, we have to take into consideration this sentiment that is created by the service provider, right? So it's not only tailoring the information we know about the guest and connecting it to room amenities or to dining options or activities. If they like extra pillows, we send them extra pillows. If they prefer coconut water versus regular water in the room, if they prefer an early dinner versus later time, it's not only about that. It's actually going beyond that data and beyond that information when we provide those services that are actually memorable through the creation of a sentiment. It's rarely about the gift, right? I think that we have all received the beautiful welcome amenity in the room. And sometimes, you know, your name is not even there, or sometimes it's like, they always send
dear
you the
guest.
Wine. Dear guest, right? Or they send you the bottle of wine that you don't even drink for the entire stay, and you have been with them for 10 times. Uh-huh. So it's rarely about the gift. It's rarely about the item, but it's actually about how we make the guest feel when we provide those moments of personalized service, something that the guest can easily evoke as a memorable emotion, a gratifying feeling of feeling, again, seen and valued, right? So some examples, right? I mentioned, you know, some examples of simple, you know, the simple amenities in the room or the guest's favorite music on the TV, or when the transportation, you know, picks you up from the airport, that they have your favorite music. And it could also go to more, you know, sophisticated invitations to personalized events or unique access to local activities of your interest, after dark events, early access to local attractions, invitations to private meet and greets and celebrities. So I think that when we talk about personalizations, it's a wide range of things that we can do for the guests, but let's not forget that what matters is the sentiment. that what matters is the feeling that we are creating when we deliver those things.
Oh, Michelle. WTF.
I love that. That's a behind the scenes right in front of you situation. Erica, I love what you said. What do you think are some of the strategies that are being employed to really create these personalized experiences?
So I kind of like broke this down into three points, right? Is the hotel using the different touch points or services? I mean, how, you know, you have your pre-arrival communication, you have your concierge, or you have your butler. Is the hotel truly being proactive in putting these services up front, or is the hotel actually waiting for the guests to reach out to them? So even that proactivity of, you know, I'll give you an example of even when the property contacts the guest prior to arrival could determine the success of the personalized service. Most hotels send a pre-arrival communication days prior to the stay versus right after the booking. The guest is making the booking and the guest is already in this mindset of, I'm excited, I'm on vacation, I'm going to enjoy the property. But then a couple of days go by and you don't receive a pre-arrival communication email until prior to your arrival when you're probably already not in that same mood of excitement. So even those small things, right? How is the hotel using the different touch points? The second one is, are these touch points asking the right questions? Because you could receive a pre-arrival email communication that gives you beautiful links and put some information in there and says, you know, please reach out if we can assist you with anything or if we can assist you with reservations. But why are we not asking important questions? And I'll give you another example, right? Upon check-in, are you here for business or for leisure? Why do we not better ask, you know, what are you looking forward the most during your stay with us? So I think that if we ask the right questions and listen with intent, we could truly get to know much more about our guests and execute that personalized service at a much higher level. And the third point is precision and continued execution. So what I mean by this is that not only the execution of the personalized service needs to be, you know, precise, of course, right? But it also needs not to be diluted throughout the stay. How many times the luxury guest arrives and upon arrival, it's, you know, everything is personalized, everything is thoughtful, everything is anticipatory. By day four, your butler has forgotten about you, has moved on to the next guest, and then the experience gets diluted. So it's so important that it is precise, but it is also executed continuously throughout the stay and even post-stay. And as I was thinking about this, you know, it kind of like made me think, it's like if you go to Walt Disney World and you receive the fireworks upon entering the park instead of receiving the fireworks at the end of a wonderful day of wonderful emotions created throughout your stay. And then we close the guest stay with the fireworks versus giving that personalization upon arrival. And then we give them the fireworks at the beginning, but then nothing at the end. And the experience, the personalized experience get diluted. So that's why I chose the third point of precision and a continued execution for personalized service.
That's fantastic, Erica. I was thinking about the Disney example precisely, and also how if you go to the theater, let's say the show starts, I don't know, I'll give you an example. We have YouTube in Vegas. Is everybody wants to go to the first Sphere concert of U2 in Vegas, right? Is that going to be any different than the one in the middle or the one towards the end? Maybe the one in the end, if you know that they're not coming back and they're planning on doing something special. But the expectation should be that every single one of them, regardless if you go on a Wednesday or a Saturday, is still the same. They still put on a great show. Right? So it should be no different when it comes to what we do too. in regards to that example of the butler forgetting you once they get, you know, they're on the tail end of your stay and they get these new guests. So it's like, okay.
Like, we're done with you. All right. Yeah. It was a pleasure. But now.
I think from the rest of the group.
The continued execution is so critical, and it's something that I always try to reinforce with my team. So.
I think, Erica, there are a lot of still basic opportunities for service in the industry to be personalized. I think there are a lot of missed opportunities. And I'll give a quick example that I recently had the privilege of going to an exceptional restaurant, a 3 Michelin star, Forbes 5 star, like once in a lifetime kind of meal situation. Very privileged to go there, so acknowledging that. And they email beforehand to say, do you have any dietary restrictions? And I'm allergic to crustaceans. I say, hey, I'm allergic to crustaceans. My wife has a dietary preference as well. And their response was really interesting. They said, okay, great. We've noted that in your reservation, but please make sure to let your server know upon arrival. Okay, maybe they're thinking from a liability perspective, like just make sure you tell us. Fine, fair point. We sit down and there's zero acknowledgement of that preference. It was as if we hadn't told them at all. And I you know, forget about AI and augmented reality and technology. Like, we're still talking about like a small restaurant with an email system and chits, and like, let's just, I think there are still some very basic things that our industry can take these little pieces of information that I think we're so focused on, like, okay, Jason left ESPN2 on his TV, and next time we have to make sure it's ESPN2. Like, no, I think maybe Jason would be impressive. But I think my point being that, like, I think there are many smaller, more impactful opportunities that are sometimes missed. I wanted to share that with you in light of talking about personalized service.
That is so true. I always use the example of guest service scores. The guest service scores are good as long as you do something with it. Mm-hmm. This is no different. If you're asking the question already, where is that information going? Mm-hmm. How is it not being shared? All right. Stephanie, do you have any thoughts on this specifically, or shall we move on?
No, I think for me, it's, you know, really it's the communication is going to make or break it for luxury hospitality on the preferences. I think the craziest thing is that the hoteliers and hotel staff is going to know more about you than you probably even know about yourself, which is crazy. But it's, you know, it's cool of now seeing how the hotel staff takes that information and elevates the experience. But that's all I have about this. But Jason, do you have anything else on this?
How much time do we have? Because I'll do a couple really, really, really quick ones. Things that resonated as Erica was talking. Something I've held on to for a long time now is never give the guest a job and never make the guest think. And every time we try to personalize it, we do it in a way that we make them think. So they gave George a job and made him think when he went to the restaurant. Did you also get a name tag and an apron to personalize your meal when you got there, George, to make sure your dietary restrictions were met? Yep. We can't do those things. And I have a shameless plug, but I won't do it if Michelle and Stephanie would rather I not. There's a phenomenal book out right now that is just telling exceptional stories on this exact point, and showcasing how their restaurant taught their staff to not worry about the 5-star, 3-Michelin experience, but to listen to cues. And what I like about that one is, you know, what's fun about making hundreds of beds a year or checking in thousands of guests a year or seating and plating millions of meals a year? Nothing. What is exciting is the personalization, but you have to have cues. You have to be thinking about it, which means training your staff to not just do the basics and to understand the guest experience. I mean, that to me is more important than Maestro and Six Senses and Point of Sale and all these. Like, that's what we teach in the forefront. We should be teaching the guest experience from the forefront. So I could go on and on, but just a couple of examples that resonated as Erica was talking.
I love it.
Fantastic. Thank you all so much for your perspective on this topic. And we have season 3 of luxury service coming up. And Stefan, if you have any last remarks, please go for it. Otherwise, okay.
Yeah, let's talk about brand collaborations.
Oh, yeah. I miss brand collaboration. I don't know how that happened. All right, let's do this. So reset. What is it that you know about brand collaboration, Stephanie, that we don't know on your side of the country? There's a lot more of that. We on the West Coast, we're a lot bigger. And with a lot bigger comes a lot more competition. So it's sometimes harder to see that happening. So how do you think our, you know, luxury hospitality services collaborating with other high-end brands to really enhance the overall guest experience? What have you seen or what do you hope to see as we move into 24?
Yeah, I think, well, the biggest trend is that we're seeing other luxury brands in different industries, whether it be cars, watches, they are all wanting to be in the hospitality space and even celebrities as well. And so I think with the brand collaborations, you know, we saw a few years back, it was when we were having the champagne vending machines that were in these luxury hotel lobbies. And it was also too a lot of it with brand marketing and part of storytelling. Like you have the Baccarat brand as well, you know, how they have their Baccarat crystals in their chandeliers that are in the restaurant. It creates a story, a marketing for the brand. I think what we're going to see that a lot of brands aren't going to see it so easy to collab, that there's a lot that needs to go into making sure what type of guests do that particular brand brings. And is that going to be the type of guests that we want to have at our property as well? So that's, you know, quickly what I think of what I put down here as my notes on brand collaborations. It's crazy here in Miami that we have Bulgari is coming and opening a hotel. It was just also to recently announced when we were doing this recording that Ferrari is now getting into the hotel space. It's crazy that when we think that a brand is the farthest away from hospitality or a hotel brand, next thing you know, they see them partnering up. I don't know if anyone else wants to chime in.
And we can think of so many more examples like that. You know, when I was thinking about this, as you were speaking, I'm like, oh yeah. And then there's that. And then there's that. And like my dots started connecting in my brain, right? This is phenomenal. I love it. Does anyone have any thoughts of an experience that you've seen where two brands collaborated and it totally made sense in the industry specific?
I have maybe a hot take. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Erica.
Oh, thank you. Not necessarily a two brand collaboration, but recently I had a chance to experience the Louis Vuitton pop-up restaurant, right? And it is, I mean, although it was only desserts, I mean, it is just so beautifully executed. I mean, it's a luxury brand, right? That has nothing to do with food. But then all of a sudden it's like this, like, beautifully designed desserts and in a wonderful location that they obviously put some thought behind it, and then it ties into the luxury service. So I think we're definitely going to see more of that from some of the trends that I have researched that probably are not even necessarily within hospitality, but directed to this luxury segment where there could be a link between something that is so unexpected, but it's still so beautifully executed and so elegant and something that it's unique, right?
They're opening a hotel from what I've seen at Louis Vuitton. Yes, they're going to be opening their first hotel in Paris either this year or next year. So yeah, it's no surprise they're dabbling in food and beverage too.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. I have a bit of a like different take on this, that I think it's one thing to your point, Jason, about when they're actually opening a proper hotel. Okay, they're dipping their toes in, and LVMH has Cheval Blanc, which is of course like an incredible brand. I think though a lot of these collaborations are 100% a marketing play. and they're completely, the Louis Vuitton dessert restaurant sounds completely like an Instagram-worthy TikTok dream. And that, I think there's nothing wrong with that, though. But I think, is it actually impacting a normal guest experience? I don't know. Maybe. And I know that there was a Dior and Four Seasons collaboration. Mm-hmm. Great and wonderful. But you might not even know that that's going on unless you're kind of in the know and aware of it. And so I think that that said, I think there's nothing wrong with it. And I think if it brings more attention to the industry, if it gets different brands involved that are creative, that's great. But I think that I would encourage hotel operators who are exploring collaborations to think, okay, how can we make this then not just a one-time pop-up, but how can we make this more a bit of a part of our story and about the ongoing guest experience, whether that's some kind of component of the room or the design of the key card, for instance, that adds that little bit of character to the experience in perpetuity, not just for one weekend so it can be TikToked and Instagrammed.
It was definitely 100% Instagrammable. Definitely.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I must tell you that as a, you know, as someone that admires the brand, I was really curious to just go and see what is this about, right? And just to find that connection between a product and a service in within the same luxury brand, I thought it was beautifully done because it was packed, right? And it's not that it was necessarily, you know, a, you know, easily affordable event, right? So it was something that you had to plan for it. You had to truly be looking into it. Other way you won't. I'm not an Instagram person. I'm not a social media person at all, actually. So my apologies in advance, right? But again, I think the brand achieved what they wanted to achieve. And that connection of the product and the service in a luxury brand, I thought that it was very nicely done.
Lovely.
I'm going to invite you next time, George.
I feel like I need to know who the pastry chef is behind that.
It was actually, I'll tell you, I can find out the information. I don't remember on the top of my head, but it was actually it was in Paris and it was the hotel next door, but I'll find out for you. Keep going. And then I'll look for that information. Well,
Stephanie, I like you brought up a point about how it's like multiple brands linking together, but I like another piece and kind of alluding to where George was going. I like Ritz-Carlton Yacht or Four Seasons Airline, where these, it's not two companies aligning and trying to find some synergy. It's industries that are giants in one realm and finding another realm to go down and hopefully and likely becoming exceptional at that. So we're used to Disney Cruise Line or Royal Caribbean Cruise Line. Now to think of the Ritz-Carlton Cruise Line or even Virgin, right? Taking it to that luxury level, much more intimate. It's more of a yacht than even a cruise. So that to me is a really phenomenal brand collaboration I hope to continue seeing in the future.
I think, Jason, I'll add on to that. Also, I know this is a little bit different, but seeing hotels who are expanding into private membership clubs and on Pendry Newport Beach that recently opened. So you think about a hotel that was previously an urban hotel now can tap into a local community as, you know, not only does that add kind of a cool chic thing for the guests of the hotel, oh, there's a private club that you have access to, but it brings in more locals and it's an additional revenue stream. So I think we're going to see more and more of that, even if it's a co-working space within a hotel, but the membership clubs I think are here to stay and we'll see more and more of those. Just like we saw 15, 20 years ago, suddenly every hotel had a residential component. They had two front drives. They had, right? That was kind of a trend 20 years ago to subsidize hotel costs. Now we're seeing that, I think, from a membership perspective. And Jason, I think from like, where else can a Four Seasons, a Rosewood put their logo on and deliver a similar experience that's kind of a little bit like the hospitality industry? It very much is, but it's not a physical hotel. With you on that.
Yes. I have the name, Michelle.
All right. Who is it?
It was Maxime Frederic from the Cheval Blanc Paris Hotel.
Very nice. Thank you for sharing that. So shout out to Maxime. What's the last name again?
Frederic.
Fabulous.
Yes.
All right, Stephanie. This was enlightening.
Yes, this was great. Thank you so much. And I can't wait for now part three.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.